Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome, welcome to the Nonprofit Nation Show, where we discuss everything nonprofit. I'm your host today, Simone Joy. Today's 30-minute segment is Starting a Nonprofit is the Best Knowledge You Will Ever Receive. And remember, you can always press the number one on your phone if you have any questions or comments. So I hope everyone's doing well today, and thank you for listening in. So let's get to it. Starting a nonprofit, as you may already know, is very, very hard work. Few people can cut it, but I'm confident you can, which is why you're listening to this broadcast. So we know online you can Google things like how to start a nonprofit and get a slew of generic advice. I often wonder, you know, the people who actually write most of that stuff, are they actually people who have started nonprofits, or are they just doing so from observing, you know? So with that in mind, you should plan a nonprofit like any other business, you know? And I think unless you've actually tried to put one together, it's really hard to kind of read things, you know, from online about, you know, how to get started. So I'm coming from an angle of starting several nonprofits before in my life, and a couple of them are still up and running, thank God. So one thing I want you to know is that a nonprofit is a business. Yes, you're doing good work. Your bottom line is usually human lives instead of money, but it's still a business. And so that means when you start any business, you need startup money. You know, you should be able to make your own investment first in the business, just like, you know, if you were starting a restaurant or any kind of sales type of business. You need startup capital. And I have to tell you, as a nonprofit executive, someone who loves the industry, that you definitely should create a business plan. You know where the money is going to come from. You know where it's going. You have marketing strategies. You have strategic planning. You know what this business is going to look like. I cannot emphasize enough that a nonprofit is a place where you have to make an investment in yourself first. So some of the type of funds that you need just, you know, to get started, it's not that much, you know, depending upon what you want to do, where you're located, et cetera. Your state and corporation papers will probably be about $100. Your tax-exempt filing fee with the IRS is $400. But then you got to think of expenses like leasing rental space, utilities, office furniture, office supplies, your website fees, business marketing materials like your business cards, you know, plus you're going to need resources to do the services that you want to do for people. How much does that all come to? I have no idea, but I know that the first nonprofit I ever tried, it failed. I quit my job, but I invested almost $20,000 of my own money. And I was in such a rush to help people that I forgot about sustainability. So when I ran out of funds, the nonprofit was over. And I made a common mistake that most people who start nonprofits make. I jumped right into delivering program services instead of building the corporation. And like I said, everything costs money. So you have to pay attention to what it takes to sustain the business of the nonprofit. So even though we were helping a lot of people, because we didn't have a great business model on paper that we could share with funders, every time we applied for grants, we were rejected. After that experience, I went to work for other nonprofits on the administrative and operational sides, both in paid positions and as a volunteer, so I could learn more about the business side of nonprofits. So since then, I'm happy to say I've helped countless others as a consultant and organizations succeed, and I've also created a legacy of an 8-year-old nonprofit called Young People Matter, which is located in Atlanta and New York City. And I've also recently founded the National Association of Nonprofit Professionals, And I invite you all to join the Nonprofit Association. Our website is www.npprofessionals.org. And there's a slew of resources and information that we share on people who work in the nonprofit sector or want to become nonprofit leaders. So, like I said before, because you can find great articles online, I want to give you some excellent, and the best knowledge, I think, which I learned from actually doing this and not just reading about it. I've broken them down into 4 stages. And remember, you can hit the number 1 on your phone if you have any questions or comments. Welcome to all my callers. I see callers coming in from Florida. I see New York City. I see a few from Atlanta. So that's great. Welcome, welcome. Stage 1, I call it the seed stage, which is your idea. So this is the part where you're excited about the possibilities. You see a need for services. You feel your passion and your desire to help. You may just want to give something back, but hey, maybe you're still on your job and deciding whether the world of nonprofits, when you hear they give free money away, is for you. So let's pause. Let's think about it. The first advice I would give you is to decide whether your idea is a program idea or a corporation idea. So are you interested in hiring staff, dealing with, searching for, and leasing space, financial accounting, marketing, et cetera? Or are you just interested in providing a service need in your community? And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're only interested in a program and not really ready to run a business, perhaps you should take that program idea to another nonprofit in your community and see if you can partner with them. Now, if you've decided you're ready to be a corporation leader, congratulations. To help you find your inspiration, one of the first things you can do is to craft your mission statement. A mission statement is so important. It's like your calling card, and it is something for which you will forever be known for. Your mission statement in the nonprofit world identifies who you work for, your beneficiaries. It expresses how you help them, and it informs people what your nonprofit hopes to accomplish with your efforts. A strong mission statement is so important because it conveys what drives your nonprofit to action and demonstrates commitment. So an even better mission statement, one that would be really, really good, is one that denotes how your organization is better at addressing your cause than competing nonprofits. Now, you're expected to put all of that into something that's just 1 or 2 sentences. So, you know, some great examples. One of my favorites is for the American Heart Association. And their mission statement is building healthier lives free of cardiovascular diseases and stroke. Building healthier lives free of cardiovascular diseases and stroke. That tells us right in a nutshell what they're about, American Heart Association. And, of course, another one of my favorites is Young People Matter. And our mission statement there is to develop, implement, and provide programs that have a positive impact on youth ages 10 to 24 years old and their families who live in the greater Atlanta metropolitan area. So that's awesome. You know, it lets people know what we're about, what we're doing in a nutshell. Hey, look, hello, Alaska's in, on the call. That's great. So, again, remember to press number 1 on your phone if you have any questions. Number 2, the next step, after you do this beautiful mission statement, you need to find capable leadership to serve on your board of directors. Of course, that you can find anywhere online, but let's be clear on who these people should be. These are the people who will actually come out of their pockets to help you financially get this nonprofit off the ground and help sustain it until you can get external funding. Do not put together a board of directors unless they can help you financially from the start, like for all of those fees I just went over a few minutes ago, or unless they can provide you with something tangible, like a building, free program space, donations to help you get off the ground. I repeat, no free rides. Unless, you know, maybe you got a celebrity loaning their name to you, because their name will open doors to other people. But it shouldn't be, you know, family members, friends, things like that who are not willing to actually make a substantial investment. And one of the things that you can let them know, as well as yourself, is that all of the investments that you make out of pocket become tax deductible on your personal taxes, as long as you get your tax exempt designation, which that's the plan, you know, for most people who start a nonprofit. So cover your leadership bases for your board. Recruit people that can actually help you build this corporation. So who do you need? An attorney, a fundraiser, someone in human resources, a certified public accountant, a marketing person, maybe a social media whiz, a social worker, or even someone from the community that you want to help. So, for example, if you're helping homeless people, perhaps you recruit a former homeless person on your board. If you're helping young people, you recruit a young person to serve on your board. There are some excellent online resources to find potential board members. Very quick, to you can go online and sign up and give your information, and there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people all across the nation looking for opportunities for board service. And one of them is boardnetusa.org. Again, that's boardnetusa.org. Also, you can go to volunteermatch.org, as well as the United Way. Well, each United Way, I should say, has a recruitment for board members. They actually have a training program, people that are interested in becoming board members. I know this, if I had to do it all over again, I would never, ever put family or close friends on the board of directors, or they would only be there for a very short time unless they were making a substantial investment financially into what we were doing. So after the board is created, most people who start nonprofits, they stop there. But I say, this is now the time to create your first organizational chart, which will also ironically go into your business plan. But think about, what does your team look like? What do you need on staff to operate the nonprofit? What areas are people going to be overseeing? So you need to put together a good organizational chart. And be careful that nonprofit titles are very different from corporation titles. So, for example, nonprofit CEOs, although some people use CEOs and CEO titles, usually those are the head of million-dollar national nonprofit organizations like a United Way or Boys and Girls Club of America. You may call the top person a CEO, but most people at the CEO level in nonprofits are referred to as executive directors. Our vice presidents are called usually deputy directors. You won't really find a lot of vice president titles for nonprofits, although there are some. But for the most part, we have our own lingo. Next after that, I would create your bylaws, and your bylaws, your articles of incorporation is key. And make sure that you incorporate in your state. So at this point, you should also find out whether your nonprofit is required to file as a charity in your state in order to get donations. So in some states, you can't even solicit $1 without being registered with the state entity as a charitable organization. And that is something totally separate from incorporation. So you want to make sure that you look into that and not overlook the step, because you can pay hundreds or thousands of dollars in non-compliance fees. Stage two I call implementation. So you open a bank account at this point. I advise putting two signatories on the account over a certain amount. So, for example, two people in order to write a check for $1,000 or more, you need two signatories. Critical, people seem to forget this one, open up an online account to accept donations. Most of the people who give now to nonprofits, they're doing so online. PayPal or a third party like DonorChoose.org or NetworkForGood.org is a great place, great places rather to use. And make sure you put that link on your website, your social media pages, etc. Then you go and you file for your federal tax exemption. I won't go into too much about filing for your 501c3 now, but you can definitely find a lot of information on how to file at IRS.gov. Again, that's IRS.gov. But I will say that once you incorporate in your state, you should apply for your tax-exempt status within 27 months of receiving your state's incorporation. So in the interim, while you wait for your tax letter, think about these things and make sure that you're doing them. Do you have a space to operate out of? If not, it's definitely time to find a location, shared space, et cetera. If you need to raise funds to do so, hold an event. In the past, I've asked restaurants to allow us to use their space to have a fundraising event for startup money. Once you have some space, shared space, it could be anything, you know, space where people that you want to serve, rather, can come. Keep a record of your accomplishments once you get the space. If you're currently working now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, hey, start a Saturday program. The sooner you get to the point of actually providing services, the better your nonprofit is and the better it looks for funding sources. Stage 3 in the nonprofit world we call the growth stage. So a lot of people want to know, well, how do I get a salary as the founder? How do I, you know, start to earn money on, you know, my own working for this nonprofit that I'm putting together? So there are a few resources that help new executive directors with salaries and seed funding, and only new nonprofits in the seed and startup stages are usually accepted. So three of my favorite ones, one is the Echoing Green Foundation, and you can find that at echoinggreen.org, that's echoinggreen.org. You have the Draper Richards Foundation based in California, and you can find them at Draper, D-R-A-P-E-R, Richards.org, as well as out of Chicago, we have the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. And you can find that find them at macfound.org, macfound.org. The next phase within the growth stage is actually hiring staff besides yourself. So there's no magical time to hire staff. If you can put together a slew of volunteers to help you until you get enough money to hire staff, that's awesome. But I always advise clients and new nonprofit leaders to make sure when you do your organizational chart that you actually put a grant writer or a fundraiser on the payroll as soon as possible, even if it takes away a little bit from your program area. There are many reasons why you absolutely must do that. Try your best to get a fundraiser or a grant writer on your staff as quickly as possible, because you want to be careful not to have too much program staff, but you're administratively light. So there should be a good balance between the program side and your administrative side. So you need a fiscal person. You need a development, a.k.a. fundraising person, grant writer. Funders may not believe you are capable of managing their money if you do not have the correct leadership in place. And the question I ask all the time, if everyone's running the programs, who's managing the money and resources for legal compliance? And we all know that executive directors, founders may burn out managing all aspects of the corporation. In addition, some of the larger nonprofits, the reason why they are able to raise so much money is that they have a dedicated person or team that their only job every single day is looking and searching for funding and opportunities and establishing relationships. So you want to start early in the game establishing that position. It's also important to remember to find out all of your state's requirements for employees, including your workers' compensation. Each year you're going to have to pay into that a couple of $1,000s for workers' comp. Of course, unemployment insurance. You know, you need to set up an account with the state so you can have your Department of Labor number. You need to really, you know, start putting together a personnel manual for when you start hiring people. You should have that already done. And that kind of thing is part of your strategic planning, which is critical to the growth of the nonprofit, how you operate. The strategic plan helps you develop, and it's something, you know, that can be taken from within the business plan or a totally separate document that will help you develop efficient operations and good support systems. So as a nonprofit leader, you should be able to have sustainable programs as well as the ability to deliver and a clear structure administratively. This strategic plan will help you identify where the organization is going in the next few years and help you create the mechanisms for you to get there. Your plan, your strategic plan, it should be a team effort, which includes all staff, board members, volunteers, and people who you provide services to. Don't ever leave them out. You can obtain information from them, of course, in brainstorming sessions, town hall-style meetings, and surveys, you know, are always helpful. So most nonprofit leaders, even veterans, lack critical long-term strategic planning skills. And oftentimes the best plans written are those done by outside consultants looking in without those rose-colored glasses. So by all means, make the investment in an outside consultant who probably charge you a couple of $1,000s, who not only has experience in this field but will not sugarcoat the organization and tell you everything that you want to hear. They will actually put together a plan, you know, showing your pros and cons and do a SWOT analysis of actually, you know, what are your strengths, weaknesses, what are the threats, and, you know, things like that. The next step is program planning. So since most new nonprofits are created from an idea from a new program, this is probably the best covered and already known area to many people who want to start nonprofits. However, constant program planning is needed to perfect any program efficiencies, to test the impact on those you are serving, to provide evaluation of services, and to improve outcomes. And outcomes is what a nonprofit is all about. How are you affecting change? What are you actually doing that's helping people? So your outcomes should always be at the forefront. Another part in this stage, which every new nonprofit leader seems to be their favorite part, is fundraising and grant writing. You know, let me start by just saying that grants are not free money, and you need to be prepared in order to get funding. I like to tell people all the time that a for-profit business, when they want to go get a bank loan, they put together a business plan. They spend thousands of dollars to create a business plan to go ask for money that they have to pay back. It's a loan. But the business plan is top-notch, well put together. Every aspect has been studied. But a nonprofit does not understand that you need the same type of document to go and get funding that you don't have to repay. So why wouldn't you put that effort, that same effort, into building a plan, you know, the same way a for-profit. And in that plan, it will help you understand that your nonprofit needs a diversified funding base, which not only includes grants, but it includes special events, it includes individual donors, major gifts from people, and you should not rely on grant funds to be the largest source of revenue for your nonprofit. And in fact, many new nonprofit startup leaders are surprised to learn the most funding for nonprofits comes from individuals and not grants. So, for example, in 2014, last year, the largest source of charitable giving came from individuals who gave $258 billion to America's charities. That's 72% of total giving. Second, it was followed by foundations, a.k.a. grants. 15% came from foundations. Corporations only gave 5% in grant funding, and then 8% came from bequests, from people actually leaving their estates to nonprofits. So, again, your largest source of charitable giving came from individuals. And if you think about it, think about churches. They're nonprofit charitable organizations. Where do they get most of their money from? Most of their money comes from individuals. So, you know, I'm always in awe when people call us and say, hey, we're a new nonprofit. We want you to write us a grant. Well, you're not ready for a grant more than likely if you're just starting up. Individuals are the people that you want to go to first. And that can just start from your little circle, your family, your friends, your social media followers, your social media friends. And they begin to give. And that shows a funder that other people have made an investment in what you do, and they're more likely to give as well. Some successful revenue building strategies, which I think all new nonprofits need to know, is that you need to develop your fundraising goals and write them down. Develop them and write them down. Your written plan will identify how much you need to raise, from what sources, and how you will do it. The best way is to begin with your current programs and current funding streams, if you have any. Are you really covered, or is there a gap? Do you want to do more but lack the funds? So this preliminary financial accounting will help you arrive at what your monetary goals should be for your fundraising goals, not just for startup, but for year one, year two. How much will your fundraising program cost? Be realistic when estimating cost, you know, and make sure that all of the money you raise does not eat up all for programs and none for administrative. So most experts recommend that fundraising and overall administrative costs not exceed 25% of your overall operating budget. In other words, three-quarters of your expenses should be spent on direct services, but not administrative overhead. So I know that sounds a little confusing because you want to invest in the administrative costs. But you really exist to do a service. But you have to be careful on how you spend money on services versus administratively. So I think, you know, in addition to that, marketing, creating written materials, press publicity, your website, you know, stage four, the mature stage, building your legacy, that's the part where you go after grants. Create an endowment fund for savings, keep abreast of industry trends. And, you know, I got 20 seconds left, and I just want to thank you all for tuning in. You know, feel free to contact me at Simone@the4group.com or call me at 770-568-9755 if you need help developing or growing your nonprofit. I thank you all for tuning in, whether you're here on the phone or listening to the recorded broadcast. We will continue them each and every Wednesday at 12:30. Please invite others to join us and tell me what you want to learn about in the Nonprofit Nation. Again, it's Simone Joy. You can reach me at Simone@e4group.com or at 770-568-9755. Thank you so much for joining, and thank you so much for your interest in the Nonprofit Nation, and good luck to you as you decide whether or not, you know, starting your own nonprofit is for you. Looking forward to hearing from you all next Wednesday, 12:30, same time.